If you have a Bible with you, it'd be great if you open it up to John chapter 14 as we look at this topic today. As Dave mentioned, we're going through this series called Consider Christianity. It's kind of framed around the idea, as we've been sharing our stories of trusting in Jesus, trying to answer questions which are often part of this discussion for people in our community. So hopefully this series kind of empowers you a little bit with some of those questions that are part of that. And maybe there are, for some of us even here, who we have questions in this kind of space. So last week, we kind of looked at a little bit of philosophy of life and some of those existential questions, thinking about life's big questions. Today we're going to kind of look at this religion versus faith. I think next week, off the top of my head, we're going to look at suffering and the nature of why is there good and evil in our world. And these are sort of some of the important things that people are always asking questions about. And I think for some of us, we do exactly the same, don't we? John chapter 14 reads this way. It says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Jesus is talking to his closest followers in that time. "Trust in God, trust in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home." Jesus had talked about how he was going away. These disciples are kind of like, "What's going on? We've been following you here. What are we going to do?" He says, "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If it wasn't so, wouldn't I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything's ready, I'll come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am. You'll know the way to where I'm going." This is kind of a sort of part of those answers, and it's a passage which is often read at funerals because it has this sense of life and death in it. And the disciples say, "No, we don't know, Lord." Thomas says, "We have no idea where you're going. How do we know the way?" And here's a verse which is a very significant verse, but in many ways is a very contentious verse for people in our world. And Jesus tells him, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Australia's next national census takes place on Tuesday the 11th of August. I think it's only in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, 2026. Every 5 years, everyone in Australia on census night is expected to take part. You will be expected to take part. One of my kids was asking me the other day, "Do we do this with like a paper thing or online?" I can't even remember how it's done. But every 5 years, all of us were asked many questions about who we are, where we live, what we do. And in those series of questions is this maybe a simple question, maybe not. What is your religion? What is your religion? That question in recent years has become a source of contention. And in some cases, people try to deal with the contention with humour. 25 years ago in 2001, there was a campaign and more than 70,000 Australians declared themselves Jedi Knights. They'd been watching Star Wars and they declared themselves Jedi Knights. That was their version of religion. Later on, a group called the... Now, you have to get this. I'm going to put the slide up here. I'm not sure if you've heard of this particular idea. This is in some of the atheistic world. They created a church called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And there's a group that call themselves Pastafarians, right? Not Rastafarians, but Pastafarians. Right. In fact, you can find people as this guy who's here who have pictures of themselves with colanders on their head, representing obviously pastor in some shape or form. In recent decades, one category has grown dramatically, and that is the category of no religion. In fact, at the moment, I'm not sure if you see this in kind of social media and things like that, the census group No Religion has been promoting this case again and again. "Join the growing number of Australians marking no religion in the census," is their catch cry. Join the growing number. Here's the trend up on the screen. You see the trend? So up in 2021, I think there it says 39.4% of Australians declared themselves as having no religion. What's religion all about? What is it? You know, many Australians, as I've said, identify with no organised religion. Some people because they're disillusioned. Some because they're maybe uncertain or indifferent. For others, it's kind of cultural, or maybe they feel like it's irrelevant, it's a joke. For many, of course, religion is serious. And yet beneath the kind of the statistics and the different ideas and groups and categories is this deeper reality, as we spoke about last week, is that human beings are always searching. And this is the truth through all of history. Every culture, every society, every generation, every civilization searching. A searching for meaning, searching to understand. You know, those questions that we kind of looked at last week. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's wrong with the world? Why is there suffering? Is there hope beyond death? And throughout history, all sorts of civilizations have created philosophies, moral systems, spiritual pathways in attempts to answer those questions. And religion in many ways is seen as an expression, I suppose, of those questions and those longings. Beliefs, values, practices that connect humanity to the spiritual, to the divine. We as Christians would say this is part of, in a sense, an understanding about how God has created every single human. The writer of Ecclesiastes puts it this way. He says that God has put eternity in the human heart. There's this sense of being connected to something that's much bigger than just our day-to-day activity. It doesn't matter who we are. We sense that there is something more. But formal religion is on the outer, isn't it? We don't need God is the cry. In fact, you may have heard about how now the AFL has become our secular religion. The MCG is the cathedral. People make a weekly pilgrimage. They sing special songs, have weekly rituals, wear particular clothes. The grand final is a holy day. They belong to a tribe, a community. In fact, many would say that the AFL sets moral guidance and values in our society. Has it become a secular religion? There's a reverence and awe to it in some ways because formal religion is on the outer. The British journalist, I'm not sure if you ever heard of this guy, his name is Christopher Hitchens. He passed away a few years ago from cancer. He became famous arguing that religion poisons everything. And millions agreed with him. Maybe because when they looked at history, saw crusades or abuse and corruption and hypocrisy. Hitchens would make a number of typical claims about the nature of religion. This is a discussion everywhere that we have in our world. He would say, first, he would say, well, religion is anti-intellectual. It's not about thinking at all. It's people who reject science for feelings. There's no reasonable claim, there's no scientific claim or physical evidence for God, isn't there? Or might be there something along the lines of, if you're going to make some sort of claim for the supernatural, some extraordinary claim, if you're claiming miracles, divine revelation, some sort of deity that intervenes, well, doesn't that require compelling evidence? Religion doesn't provide that, he would argue. Or maybe it's part of this mindset was what historically was called God of the gaps. Have you ever heard that phrase, God of the gaps? There's parts of knowledge in our world that we don't understand. And in those gaps, that's where God is. So if we don't understand, for example, 300 years ago, 400 years ago, where does weather come from? Well, God makes the weather. And so in numbers of religions, they would have a God for weather. Was part of their process of religion. And in fact, Hitchens, like others, would claim that religion, in fact, stands in the way of progress. It seeks to prevent science, turn the calendar back to the 17th century and the Catholic Church arguing with Galileo. These are kind of issues that are raised. Is religion anti-intellectual? And then they would argue other things, like, for example, well, morality. Christians or other religions, you believe that you are the source of morality, but morality doesn't depend on religion. They would argue that moral values evolve through human experience, through empathy and reason. You don't need God to lead a good life, do you? In fact, religion, that many would argue, is anti-progressive. Religion was in favour of slavery. Religion holds back gender issues or sexuality. And in fact, they would argue that religion just seeks to control people through guilt and fear. And look, when you get down to the bottom line, religious people don't really act any different from secular people, do they? In fact, some ways, they would argue that religious people can be worse than secular people because religion gives you an excuse. It justifies your behaviour, which can be evil behaviour. I mean, look at the history of the church. In fact, in a few weeks' time, we're going to do this together. Look at the history of the church, as I mentioned earlier. Oh, something, it's about power and money. The church was a source of persecution and inquisitions, wasn't it? It's done terrible things. We don't need that. And in fact, the other claim that is often kind of really contentious and repulsive comes from our reading this morning, when Jesus claims that I am the way. No one else can come to God except through me. How can this be exclusive? Our world sort of prides itself on a value of inclusivity, doesn't it? Exclusivity just seems wrong. I mean, at the moment, we've got on the cinemas at the moment, we've got that film, The Odyssey. The Odyssey comes from kind of, you know, one of the historic Greek poems from Homer about a nature of the Greek world at that time, and it's filled with all sorts of gods, but Greek gods. And so people would argue, well, you reject thousands of gods, why not one more? Dawkins is well known for making this statement, we're all atheists about most of the gods that societies have ever believed in. He would just say some of us just go one step further. You reject them all, why not others? How can religion be good if it excludes so many? And in many ways, Hitchens makes some kind of legitimate points. I mean, I would disagree with him on a fundamental level. I think that a number of his points come up short when you drill into them and expand them. He likes to take sort of a headline and make that kind of the title which appeals to people's emotions without actually getting to any kind of details. But some of the things, there's kind of some truth in them, isn't it? They resonate. How would you feel if you were having that conversation with someone at work and they raised some of those points? Or maybe for some of us, it's a question that we ask in ourselves and we're not sure how to answer. Because most religions kind of have a pretty common kind of pattern. They offer some sort of path or connection to the divine, don't they? Maybe have a kind of like a sacred text of moral teachings. They would encourage some sort of spiritual practices. For example, in Islam, the five ways of Islam include a kind of declare your faith in Allah, to pray five times a day, to give charitably, to fast during Ramadan, to make some sort of pilgrimage to Mecca. That's their spiritual practices. They point to actions that we should take, kind of like what our human effort is towards some form of enlightenment or salvation. And this kind of makes sense to us, I think, on many levels, because as humans, we kind of warm to the idea, don't we, that getting somewhere naturally takes effort, don't we? I mean, that kind of makes sense. I mean, if you want to be fit, what do? You eat well and exercise, don't you? So this is the outcome. This is the cause. We do these things to achieve this end. If we want success, well, you should work hard, study hard, whatever it is that's required. If you want knowledge, you should read. This is part of kind of our understanding. If we want some sort of outcome, we apply some sort of effort, some cause and effect. In many ways, it's kind of what I would think of for many Australians. We kind of live by some form of soft karma. We think that if we do one step, some other outcome is guaranteed. Our actions shape our future. Do you think or understand that? So naturally, isn't this natural, that we assume that if you want to know God, if you want a relationship with God or something like that, you must work harder spiritually? In many ways, we assume that religion, in a sense, is about kind of like, almost like climbing a ladder towards God. You know, here's this step one, step two, 3, 4, I'm climbing a ladder towards God. Be good enough, pray enough, give enough, try harder, earn acceptance. And it doesn't matter, in a sense, what general religion. In Islam, it's 5 pillars. In Hindu, it's, well, you should do your duty, make offerings. In Judaism, it's observe the 613 laws that are mentioned in the scriptures, or observe the Sabbath. It seems like every religion offers some sort of path upward, doesn't it? Some sort of way to God, some sort of effort that we must do. So what's so different about Christianity? Is that just another religion like that? Just a different spiritual practices or different sacred text? Well, no, because at the centre of Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not a moral code. It's not a list of rules, is it? At the centre is Jesus. Because humanity, in spite of whatever we might think our best efforts, whatever we think of trying to reach to God, is impossible. And so we understand that God comes to us. In John 1, it tells us how the Word, how Jesus becomes human and lives among us, dwells, makes his home. In Jesus, God enters the world, experiences hunger and pain, joy and friendship, suffering and temptation. God does not remain distant. Instead, he comes near. And even more than coming near, he gives himself for his creation. God shows his love for us, Paul writes. When even we were snubbing him, even when we were running away from God, even when we were rebelling, he loves us and dies for us. You see, this is the difference between religion and faith in Jesus. Between religion and Christianity, we could call it grace. Where other religions say, do, Jesus says it's done. In Ephesians, there's this beautiful passage which describes how our relationship with God is a gift. You didn't earn it. You weren't good enough to earn it. I'm not good enough to earn it. No matter how hard I might try, or you might try, no matter how many rungs on the ladder you might build, it would never get there. And yet God in love gifts. Grace means receiving what we do not deserve. It's given. Didn't achieve it. It's received. It's a gift, not a reward. And that's what the astonishing message of Christianity is. Not when we made ourselves acceptable to God. Not when we improved ourselves and lived in such a way. Not when we'd worked hard enough, but while we were snubbing God, we received this gift. You see, every religion offers a path upward, but it's only Christianity that proclaims that in Jesus, God comes down to bring grace and forgiveness and life. We might try to climb and climb and climb, to work harder and harder and harder, to do the right thing, the right thing, the right thing, but it's never good enough. In many ways, I've got to say, that's not a popular message. Because as I said, I think that the average person in Australia lives with this mindset of soft karma, where if we do enough, something good will come to us. If we work enough, if we try enough, we will achieve some end. Religion requires ladders, but Jesus builds bridges. That's what the difference is. You know, the Bible tells us that humanity's problem is deeper than our bad habits or even our poor decisions. It tells us that our fundamental problem is that we've broken our relationship with God. And Jesus repairs that relationship. He restores what was broken where religion has a rule book to do that, Christianity has a cross. It's the difference of what it is. The cross tells us that God's love is greater than all of our rebellion. His forgiveness is more than whatever our sin could be. We don't need to reach, to earn, to do. In fact, we receive. See, where every religion offers a path upward, it's only Christianity that comes down in Jesus. Jesus, who was more than a teacher, more than a great moral man, more than an inspiring leader. In fact, Jesus is the one who says that I am the way, the truth and the life. No other way. That's what the difference is between us. It's a remarkable claim. It's a challenging claim. It's a contentious claim. But it's the difference between religion and Christianity. Because Christianity is not about rules in the end. It's about trusting in who Jesus is and what he has done. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? If you're having a conversation with someone at work, I hope that it points to Jesus. There's some deep kind of questions within that, as I mentioned before, about some of Hitchens' material and things like that, which are part of that discussion. If you want to research a little bit more, I can help you to kind of find where you can get some really solid answers in a more deeper way. Where does it leave us if you even find yourself here today and you feel like, wait a sec, Andrew, I feel like all my life I'm trying hard. I keep trying to build ladders, rungs on the ladder to get closer to God. I try to be good. I try to give. I try to sacrifice. I try to do the right thing. If you find that's where you are today, maybe today is an opportunity for you to rethink about what it is to trust in Jesus, what the difference is between doing versus receiving, what it is to experience God's grace and forgiveness. You see, Jesus offers more than religion. Religion is a Sisyphean task, to get back to some Greek gods, a task which is impossible because we cannot, no matter how hard we try, reach God. And you know what? There are people here today who probably do some of that. You can be religious and yet not have faith in Jesus. Maybe you come along to church regularly. You know what it is when we pray. You understand some theology. You follow some of the traditions, and yet you still miss the heart of Jesus. You still don't really understand the good news of what it is. Still trying to live up to some impossible standard. You know, the message I want to hear you today is this, is that forgiveness and grace are only available in Jesus. Nowhere else. You can get rid of the burdens that you carry, the slavery that you find yourself a part of, and learn to trust in him, to come to Jesus, to receive grace and forgiveness from him. Because whilst religious is about earning your way to God, Christianity, faith in Jesus, is about receiving from him. And so I invite you, if that's you, to receive that grace from him. Maybe to put faith in him for the first time. A chair, if I had a chair up here on the stage, is completely useless unless we sit in it. A bridge means nothing unless you walk across it. A relationship with Jesus begins by putting trust in him. By saying, I put my future in your hands. I ask forgiveness for all of the rebelliousness, all the sin that's part of my life. I invite you, if that's where you are today, to do that for the first time. To move from a world of religion to a relationship with the living God, with Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? And before I pray this morning, I actually just want to invite you to pray. It might be As Chris mentioned earlier on, it might be for one of the people's names on one of these doors. You might have a friend like Chris who's away from God and you're praying that they would know. Pray this morning that they would find hope in Jesus. I encourage you to do that right now. Or maybe there's someone here today who you've actually never truly put your hope in Jesus alone. And your life has been filled with religion, been filled with effort. I'm trying, Andrew. I'm doing my best. But you know it's not enough. I invite you to receive God's love and grace in Jesus. And if that's you, you might want to pray a simple prayer like I'm going to do now. God, I want to thank you that you love me. I thank you that Jesus came to this earth and that he died for me. Please forgive my sin. I want to put my hope and my trust in you alone. And if that's where you're at, maybe you pray that very simple prayer. For our God, I thank you that you are not a God of religion. You're not a God who is distant, a God who requires from us impossible things. But instead, you are a God of love and grace. You're a God who steps out of the heavens, so to speak, and enters this world. And in Jesus, we experience that love and grace. And so, God, our hearts want to cry out to you. They want to cry out, thank you. Thank you for what we've received. Our hearts want to cry out, God, we want to share that love and grace that we've received with others who don't know it.